All right, Rabotai, Erev Shabbat. The time is short. We are studying Parashat Ekev. As much as we'd like to, you know, bypass that word Ekev, you can't bypass it. There's too much said. The fact that the Parashah is named Ekev, obviously the Hachamim wanted us to focus on this on the terminology. The problem in the Parashah is very, very simple. The Parashah is telling you, the way I understand it simply, if you will, on account that you will listen and observe the Mishpatim, and you'll keep them. So then God promises you everything. It says, Uberach, Pri Betnecha, Pri Admatecha, Deganecha, Tirotecha, Vyesarecha, Shigar Alafecha, Asherot Sonecha, Baruch Ata, Vesir Hashem Emecha, Kol Holy. And basically, the Torah is predicting that if you keep the mitzvot, you're going to get the best that Olam Hazeh has to offer. The only problem we have with this is there's a great contradiction, and the contradiction is not so far away. As a matter of fact, the last pasuk of last week's parashah said, "Veshamarta et mitzvah ve'et hachukim ve'et hamishpatim asher anochi misavecha hayom la'asotam." So it says, "I will command you the law that you will fulfill today." Today we fulfill hayom la'asotam. What does Rashi say? Hayom la'asotam ba'olam hazeh ulmahar ba'olam haba litol secharam. So therefore, reward for the mitzvot is not until Olam Haba. So right after you tell me that, Hayom la'asotam, u'mahar lekabel secharam, so now they tell you, listen, don't stand by the mailbox and wait for your reward to come. It's not going to come. The reward is in Olam Haba. No problem. And then the next pasuk says, v'ya'ekev tishmi'un, on account that you will listen to the mitzvot, and all the barakot are going to come down. So the question is, make up your mind. What is the Toda Rabba? I have my own straw. So what happens over here is, we have over here a contradiction. Make up your mind. Is the Sakhar Be'olam Hazeh, or is the Sakhar Be'olam Abba? This is a simple question. You can't get out of the box. We cannot even start saying Derashot until we reconcile the blatant Stira. If I wanted to go easy, without making it complicated yet, the easy interpretation, I would read the Balaturim. The Balaturim, by the way, says, V'haya Ekev, Le'el Minekitiv, Hayom Na'asotam. So he brings the contradiction. Usmich ekev kelomar hayom naasotam avasecharam beekev. What does ekev mean? The end. Just like Hazak Baruch, which means just like the ekev is the bottom of the body, it's the end of the body. The body begins, let's say, at the head. At the end of the body, we call that the ekev. For example, at the end of time, what do you call the end of time? Ikvetad de Mashiha, because it's the tail end of history. So whenever we talk about the end of something, we call it what? The Ekev. So the pasuk is not contradicting; it's actually continuing the flow. Vehaya Ekev at the end of time, which means the Olam Haba. That's when already the reward is going to be manifested, and that's why. We have an understanding. There was a big fight between Yaakov and Esav. Esav, of course, he chose Olam Hazeh. He said, I want my reward. He doesn't want to wait for later on. The Goyim, they can't wait. They want to have the Hana'ah today. So therefore, Yaakov made a deal. I'll take Olam Haba and you take Olam Hazeh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, that's why the Jewish people are compared to the moon, and the goyim are compared to the sun. Why? Because the sun only shines during the day. However, it does not shine at night. However, Bnei Yisrael are like the moon, which means the moon not only shines in the night, but it also sometimes in the day. Sometimes you walk out in the day, you look up, you see the moon over there. Which means what? Bnei Yisrael's reward is like the moon, which is going to be permanent. It doesn't have an ending. The sun has an ending, which means the sun, after the night comes, it's over. Mashiach Bnei Yisrael like the moon, which means it's permanent, which is the reward is not going to end. The reward is going to be Latid Lavo, which is the eternal world, like the moon is never ending. You could always see the moon. And that's why, when Yaakov Abinu Alav HaShalom was born, with Esav, if you remember, so what happened? It seems he let him go out first. What's the pshat that he let him go out first? Because he came along and said, listen, Olam HaZeh we're going to. The Olam HaZeh belongs to you. You go out first. This is your Olam. But what did he do to hint that his reward is La'atid Lavo? He held on. What did he hold on to? The Ekev. And therefore, amazing thing.
Wow.
Because he holds on to the Ekev as if he's telling Esav, you take Olam HaZeh, I'm waiting for the Ekev. I'm waiting for the...
It's testimony.
I'm waiting for the end. From the beginning he knew already. From already, the fact that he held on to the Ekev, why didn't he hold on to his ear? Why didn't he hold on to his hair? Pull his hair, the guy had hair already. Esav, the guy came out hairy. Why didn't he pull his arm off? And he's holding the Ekev because it's symbolic. And that's why they called him Yaakov. Ask yourself a question, because he held on to the Ekev, so they called him Ekev. I mean, everybody has funny things that they do. You're not going to nickname him because it sounds like an arbitrary item. Because he held the Ekev, by Yekra'oto Yaakov, Melashon Ekev. Why is that? And if he held onto his elbow, you're going to call him Marpek? No. And the explanation is, because that's the essence. That's not Stam. Yaakov is called Ekev because that is the essence of Yaakov Abinu, that we're not living over here for today. We're living for the Ekev. We're living for the end game. The end game is in Olam Abba. Esav, you can go first. Kavod, he doesn't want to wait. Kavod, you can go out first. Take your Olam Hazeh, enjoy it. But guess what? The sun will set. And when the sun sets, where the moon was still there, which means the moon never sets. The moon is always out. And therefore, Yaakov Abinu was called Yaakov. Why? Says the Baal HaTurim. What's the Yud in Yaakov? The Yud represents the Ten Commandments. So Yud Ekev, meaning those that keep the Ten Commandments will be zochet to the Sachar of Ekev. Now, why only Ten Commandments? Look, how would I have to keep the 613 mitzvot? Sadia Gaon said that all the 613 mitzvot are hinted in the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, if you count the words of the Asir HaDibirot, not the words, the letters of the Asir HaDibirot, there's exactly 620 letters. I counted them before I came. Not Ekev. 620 is not Ekev.
It's
Ketan. 620 is exactly Ketan. Mechilam. Ketan is right. What's the pshat? Because there's 613 mitzvot, midoraita, and 7 drabanan. So they're all alluded to in the 620 letters of the Asir HaDibirot. So Yaakov is Yud, which represents the Torah, which is hinted in the Asir HaDibirot, Ekev. And as a result, by keeping the Yud, you're going to be zocheh to the Ekev. And all this that I just said now, by the way, is not my talk. It's the talk of the Sror Amor, the great Rabbi Rabbi Abraham Saba from Spain. I'll just read his golden language. V'chen amar ekev lehorot al schar aharit. We're not playing the game over here, the short game. We're playing the long game, the ekev game. V'hu ha-sachar amiti v'yado ohezet ba'akev esa. Why? Lehorot. Ki Yaakov lo rasa b'schar ze ha'olam. Yaakov doesn't care about this world. El ha-schar ha'olam haba. Ha-safun ha-tzadikim ba'alit ha-yamim. V'zeu yado ohezet ba'akev esa. שהייתה, שהיה אוחז ידו בעקב, הוא האחרון שבגוף, אין. אבל עשיו, בחר לחלקו שקרה לעולם הזה, ולכן הם מונים לשמש, כמו שהשמש אין ממשלתו אלא ביום, כך הם אין ממשלתם אלא בזה העולם. Like the sun only has dominance in the day, they only have dominance in העולם הזה. אבל יעקב ניתן אור הלבנה, משה ביום ובלילה. כי לפעמים נראים ביום ולפעמים בלילה לרמוז, כי הם אוכלים בעולם הזה ובעולם הבא. We do eat, as we'll see in a moment, we do eat some of the benefits of המצוות in עולם הזה. Those are the fruits. We'll talk about the fruits in a second. So we're like the moon. We get, guess what? We get
the best of both.
The best of both, which means you get to have your cake and eat it also, as the saying goes. Beautiful. And then he says, לכן נקרא שמו יעקב. That's why his name was called Yaakov. Al Shem Achizat Ta'akev. Why? Shayara uilidat skaru the mabashi babahrona. Like he says. Then he writes, Vizebisibata mitzvot. Ubifrat aser it at the berot. Shem klal kolatura kula, which is the whole Torah. Shizer remez a yud shel Yaakov. Ki beskar yud shel Yaakov. Shu remez aser it at the berot. Yoshima skar amiti. Shu ekev. So therefore, Yaakov is yud ekev. That's the way the Rav says of Esrom. So there's no contradiction.
Description is this world blessings.
Oh, Hazak, that's now. Hazak, why are you asking? Very good. So now we have a problem because it's true. Olam haba, ayom na'asutam halikav esekaram, and therefore the pasuk is saying, don't wait for the check in the mail. Vaya ekev, wait for the end, and therefore Yaakov. Well, that's fine. Only problem is my asks. That if you look at the reward that the Torah promises you in this world, it doesn't look like it's reward in the next world. Uberach pri betnecha, pri admatecha, diganecha, tirochecha, yisarecha. That's all stuff that's tangibles. So therefore, you could give the rashot from here to tomorrow, but the Torah is still telling you to get reward in this world. So how do we reconcile this understanding? Rabotai, I will tell you a Gemara in Kiddushin. Baruch alav shalom. Always would quote this Gemara. He would actually quote it at funerals. I know we're not at a funeral now.
It's comfort.
But he would say this usually at the Levayot. This was one of his standard derashot that he would say. The Pasuk says, Imru Sadiqi Tov, Kipri Ma'alalehem Yochel. So the Gemara is talking about over here a Sadiq that is Tov. So the Gemara says, Vichi Yes Sadiq Tov, Vyes Sadiq She'eno Tov. If he's a tzaddik, he's tov. You have a tzaddik that's not tov. What kind of business is this over here? Ela tov l'shamayim v'l'biriyot zeh tzaddik tov. Which means you have a tzaddik who's tov. What does it mean tov? He's tov l'shamayim, meaning he does all the rituals between man and God, but he also does all the ben adam l'havero. Exactly. That's called tzaddik tov. The Rashi says over here. She says over here. Oh, then you have Tov l'shamayim v'ra l'beriyot. But if he's Tov l'shamayim, there's all the rituals. But the beriyot is not so good. Zeu sadiq she'en otov. I don't even know why they call him a sadiq, but he's a sadiq nonetheless. They call him a sadiq she'en otov. And then what does the Gemara say? Imru sadiq itov. That if you find a sadiq, that's a tov sadiq. So what does it say? We have a rule. There's certain mitzvot that it says, "Hakeren kayemet lo le'olam haba," where the principal payment for your reward is in olam haba, but the pirot, the dividends, you eat in this world. Which means it's possible to get reward. They're not going to touch the keren. They're not going to touch the principle. That already is frozen asset. That asset's going to be in Olam Haba. But what? They're going to give you dividend checks. The interest, what we call that in the Hebrew, the perot.
Distribution.
So therefore, the pasuk is to be read like this. Imru tzaddik kitov. And what's the benefit of a tzaddik that's kitov? Kitov, which means what? Kipri ma'alalav yochelu. The tzaddik that's not tov, he'll get reward. But his reward is in Olam Haba. So you see what? If you look at that Mishnah in the Sidur that we say every single day in the morning, Hazak Baruch. It doesn't start like that, but it starts Elu Debarim. No, She'adam Oseh Otam, Ochel Meperotem Ba'olam Hazeh, Me'akene Keim Olam Haba. So it gives you the list. What are they? Most of the list is Ben Adam L'Havero stuff. Let's review the list. Kibud Abaim. That's honoring your parents. That's man to man. Kimilut Hasadim. Doing Hesed. Bikur Cholim. Achnasat Orchim. Hashkamat Knesset is a Hesed to make a minyan for the other people. Habaat Shalom and Adam Nachadros, the highest level. Making peace between people who made Ishtish is impossible. No, that's impossible. Which means. Rav Aaron, I think, said that even Talmud Torah is Ben Adam L'Havero. Why? What's the pshat? Because it says that if there would be no learning Torah in the world, there'd be no world. So therefore, by doing Torah, you actually give me the world of Kiyum. But the biggest chesed like that, which means this guy cannot be walking. Bediyuk. So Talmud Torah also is an Olam Hazeh. The common denominator between all these items in the Mishnah, Ben Adam L'Havero. Imrut Tzadik Yitok Yibri Ma'alav Yochelu. Oh, so based on this, we said a derash as follows. If you count how many, not letters, because that we did already, 620, but if you count how many words there are in the Aseret HaDibirot, there's exactly 172 words. Now, that's referring actually to the Aseret HaDibirot, the first version. The second version is actually an additional 17 words. That's why I was late today. I was telling the difference between the two versions. But let's go into the first version. There's 172 words. Oh, not my chiddush. That's what the Baal HaTorim says. The Baal HaTorim says, Ekev tevot yesh be'aseret deberot. There's Ekev tevot. So the simple explanation, yeah, Ekev teshmeun, keep the Ekev, keep the 172. But I explained it like this, Rabotai. It says Ekev, 172 words. And what's the 172nd word of the Aseret HaDibirot? The last word of the Aseret HaDibirot. Vechol Asher Lere'echa. Oh, so the Pasuk is coming to say, Vaya Ekev Tishmiun, if you're going to fulfill the Ekev, the last word of the Aseret, which is what? Lere'echa Ben Adam L'Havero. Then already you can get the reward in this world. Then already Imru Tzadiki Tov. There is Tzadiki Tov. And therefore the reward is given in this world. Not the principal payment, but the perot. That's what it says. Uberach Hashem, pri p'necha, pri, melashon, perot. So therefore, both are reconciled.
What?
Hayom, first say, Rabbi, what a derasha. Before you reject it and slam it down my throat again. Before you reject it and slam it down my throat again. Come along and say, hey, that's clever. That's a nice derash. I didn't think that the Torah, when it said Ekev, is referring to the 172nd word of the Ten Commandments. And that's Lere'echa. So basically what the Pasuk is saying, if you fulfill the rules of Lere'echa, then you get to be with this world. Oh, there's no contradiction. Hayom ha'asutam ma'al lekabel sakaram. That's on the keren. My keren kayemet lo. So that everything works out like a charm. Huh? There's 172 words, honey, in the Aseret HaDibirot.
Yeah, but what's the 172 for? Ekev just means the last word.
No. There's 172 words completion. But the Pasuk is telling you, look at the word Ekev. Look at the last word of the 172. How would I know we're talking about 172 of the Ten Commandments? You have to give me you have to tell me the location. Ekev. Oh, Ekev is in the Berot. Exactly. So that tells me go to Aseret HaDibirot. And which word in Aseret HaDibirot? The Ekev word. Ekev, the end of the Aseret HaDibirot, the last word of Aseret HaDibirot, number 172, which is the Echa. All right, that is just the Echa to open the palate, so we can now begin the Derash. We waited for Rabbi Malka to finish his Shi'urim. Now he's with us. Now we can open up the Derash, what we came really here to speak about this morning, which is really a important Yesod in the Yahadut. It's based on an idea that was said by the Hidushei Harim. Hadushah Arim, that's what the Admor from Gur. So the Hadushah Arim said a Hadushah. He said, oh, Vaya Ekev Tishmi'un, Ekev, Remez le Rabbi Akiva. He says, Ekev Akiva.
Wow.
Oh, so he says, there's already Veze Sod, Shel Rabbi Akiva po. Rabbi Akiva, listen. Rabbi Akiva, no one's saying the greatest Tana we have. But what's the inyan of Akiva? You found the letters match. Chazak Baruch, Ekev, Akiva, very nice, beautiful. But it doesn't give you the sod. A lot of times these rabbis, they just give you the, a taste, a remez, and then they tell you, the idak is gemor, go figure it out. We're not going to give you the whole. So it's incumbent upon the Sadiqim to try to unravel the mysteries that they come along and say. So, one mahalach in the Hadushei Arim, I saw, not my Hadush, I saw, is unraveled the following way. We've talked about this many times. One of the most important midot that a person could have is the midah of anava. Anava is, of course,
humble.
Exactly, humility. We all know how much the ga'ava, the arrogance and the haughtiness, is despised by the Creator. The pasuk comes along and says that God cannot live in the same world as the arrogant men, and God's not going anywhere. So therefore you see that it's ma'us, to'avat Hashem kol gebalev, it's a to'avat Hashem kol gebalev. And anavak is keneged kulam. When Mesilat Yesharim talks about the different levels on the rungs to reach the highest madrigot, he has three chapters on anava. And of all the midot he chose anava. That's the whole item. But what? Anava is a double-edged sword. The Baal Shem Tov made the following statement regarding anava. I will say the statement and then I will explain this thing. The statement is going to sound a little surprising, especially speaking so by the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem said, and I quote, "Rov anvetinuto shel Adam gorem sheyitrachek ma'avodat Hashem itbarach." He said the majority of anava that people have caused them to become distant from the service of Hashem. What did he mean? He was talking about a concept that he discusses at length called anava pasula. Anava pasula, anava that's pasul, which is midot, are called midot because it's a measure. Now if you don't have the right measure, and you have too much of it, so therefore it has a reverse effect. Even anava, although one has to have a great measure of it, me'od me'od hevesh shval ruach, but if you don't administer it correctly, it can have an adverse effect on the person's avodat Hashem. And he said, rov of the anava out there is fake. Rov of the stuff out there is not authentic stuff, and the people are buying that anava, and it's causing them to become an achot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to figure out what's the authentic anava, and what is the fake. Authentic means real, and what is the fake anava? What is the knockoff? That's what we're trying to analyze over there. Okay, don't forget the percent. Okay.
Very busy guy.
I know. So you're busy in this class especially. The point is like this. So we once explained Apid Derasha. I'm defining now. Real Anava and fake Anava. So explain like this. It says, when Borei Olam tells us to take and light the menorah. So it says you have to take olives and you have to crush the olives. And then you take the first press, and that first press you use as light. So the pasuk says, "Shemen zayit zach katit lamaor." You have to crush it lamaor for the kindling, for the light. So the Gemara says in Menachot, "Katit lamaor velo katit lemenachot," which means what? When you have a mincha. Mencha is a flower offering. You also need oil. However, you don't need the rule of katit. You don't need first press for the menachot. That's the simple law, katit lemaor, velok lemenachot. I saw the Sadiqim explain this Gemara al pi Musav. And they say like this. And here's the key between real anava and fake anava. Real anava actually is a motivator. Fake anava causes a person to be depressed. I'll give you an example. Anava, a guy comes along and says, what am I? I'm a nothing. You think my service is worth anything? Yeah, big tzaddikim, they have kavanot and yehudim. Bezor, I can pray the Amidah. Bezor, I understand 30% of the words that I'm saying. My mind wanders all over the place. I'm a regular guy. My avodah cannot be really accepted in the upper worlds. And therefore the guy says, because he's holding himself as a nothing. He's holding himself as a... So what did it basically cause the guy to do?
He thinks he's on
to retire. No, he really holds himself as a nothing. And as a result, what does he do? When the Yetzirah wakes him up in the morning, what does he do?
Nothing.
He puts the sheet back over his head. He said, what am I getting up for? He said, what am I going to do? Especially if he gets up at 8:30, 9 o'clock, when it's light outside. Well, I'm going to go to shul now. They're the last minyan. What does Hashem want from me? I'm a kaslan, all that. So therefore, that type of anava, the yetzirah works on to say, you're worthless, your avodah doesn't mean anything. Therefore, you know what?
You don't have to do
enjoy
it.
Enjoy yourself. Because anyway, you're an ahbal. Hey, why bother? Especially, we know you're past already. We know where you're coming from. We know you're past already, you're stained. And we know that you're not such a good guy already. So therefore, it's not for you. It's not for you. So that anava, the rabbi, the way to come to shul. You know what I am. I'm not one of the Lamed Vav Sadiqim. I'm not even one of the, you know, the Lamed Zayin Sadiqim. I'm not from the main guys. So therefore, that anava is a demotivator.
Yes.
What's the anava that motivates you? Anava that motivates you says like this. Of course, I have greatness. You're the son of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You have a chelik elokam imal. You have a piece of God inside of you. If you come along and say that you're not great, kibyakol, you're saying that God is not great, because God is inside of you. And even if you're not great, but look who you descended from. You can't take away your family. You could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Your family is a family. No matter what you are, you're still Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Zichut avot, you can't get rid of that. It's your fact that he was grandchild. And you're God's son. Oh, so what does anava tell the person? Anava says that no matter what I did, it's falling short of my responsibility, what I could do. I mean, I could always do more.
Wow.
He doesn't come along and say, oh, look at, I learn every day, I go to Nitz, and I pray, and I'm unbelievable, these guys, because they do nothing. No, no, the guy says, no, I'm doing very good, Baruch Hashem, but this is a drop in the bucket, I can always do. So the Anav guy is always hungry. He's always hungry. He's always saying, what do you mean? I got to get up, do, got to learning more. But you're doing so much. What's so much? Compared to what I'm responsible to do, whatever I did is nothing. So it causes him to be more motivated. Tell, if somebody comes and says, aren't you doing enough? Why are you still pushing yourself? What are you talking about doing enough? Enough? How much could I do more for God? I owe him everything. So the humility causes you to be motivated to do more. But you don't say, I'm a nothing to do nothing. No, I'm not a nothing. And if that means I didn't fill my responsibility yet. Therefore, go further.
You have the capabilities.
So therefore, they explain the derash like this. Katit represents to crush yourself. Crush yourself. Katit. Katit is anaba. Crush yourself. But what? The crushing has to be lama'or in order to illuminate. So you become motivated. Velo katit leminachot. But if the katit caused you to lie down, leminachot, to rest, then already that's pasul. That's not a katit. Katit lama'or. You have to be, inspired, to be motivated, to have light. But if the katit caused you to hide under the covers of bedlam and ahod, so that's what the Baal Shem meant. Rov anava causes a person to be pushed away from, even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw Yeshua, his student. It says, when he saw Yeshua ben Nun, he blessed him. Ya Yoshi Acha. So the Targum Yonatan over there says, what did he see in Yeshua? That he has anava yetera. Too much anava. He felt that what's going to happen, that anava, that will get him in trouble. Why? Because all the 10 spies are going to come and say, what? Israel, nothing. And Yeshua is going to say, what am I? 10 spies are saying it's nothing. I'm going to say it's something. I'll be mevatel my da'at. So that anava would have got him in trouble. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to bless him that the anava should not be a stumbling block, should not cause a downfall. Or if that's the case, Sabotai, we see over here in Inyan, the pasuk says regarding anava, ekev anava yirat Hashem. So you see in the pasukim that talk about anava, it uses the word what?
Ekev.
To come and tell me that anava is also ekev, because just like the heel is the lowest part of the body, and therefore they're telling you ekev anava. That's the key. And by the way, I don't say that. The Baal HaTurim says that, if I'm not mistaken. The Baal Shem Tov comes along and says ekev anava. Limod min ha'akev hazeh. Learn from your heel. Sheholech achar ha'regel derech anava. It follows. It's the bottom part of the body. It follows the leg. Ufikach enu nigaf kemo etzbot ha'raglayim. Which means the heel never gets damaged, by the way. The toes get damaged. The heel, no. Even though it's trampled on the ground of it, because the lowest part is protected. So therefore, you see the anava, Borei Olam takes care of the anavim. Oh, so the pasuk is coming to say v'haya ekev tishmon, that when you do the service of the mitzvot, ekev tishmon. But the Hashi comes along and says a different din. Look how many ways we learned Ekev. The first way we learned Ekev is what? Latid Lavo. Ekev is means when Mashiach comes. And now we learned Ekev is referring to what? Yaakov Abinu. That's a different Mashiach. Ekev is Lashon Yaakov Abinu. And then we said what? Ekev is Anava. And now that she comes along and says a totally different one. No. Ima mitzvot ekalot shadam dash ba'akevav. It's referring to the mitzvot that a person dash ba'akevav. He steps on. So everybody always learns that what? Dash ba'akevav, pirusho, the ones that the light mitzvot that he trampled on, which means there's certain mitzvot that everybody thinks are very important mitzvot, and there's certain mitzvot that people think are
less important.
That's a mistake. You don't know what's more important and what's less important. If a king comes along and tells his servants, go to the field over there, and I want you to uproot the trees and bring me the trees. So a guy comes along and says, well, listen, there's big trees, there's small trees. So he's thinking the big trees must be more money. And therefore the small trees, no. Meanwhile, the guy was going after the big trees. The small other guy had no choice. He took the small trees. When he came back, the guy said, oh, the small trees are worth more to me. I need them to put them out. These big trees are garbage. I have nothing to do with them. Let me throw them out. So therefore, you don't know what's big, what's small. So therefore, exactly, don't neglect the small items. Because could be the small items are more valuable than the bigger. You have no idea. That being said, now she's saying those are mitzvot dash ba'akeva. But based on what we're learning now from the Hadosh Shari, we're saying a bigger hadush now. What is it dash ba'akeva? Dash ba'akeva is saying like this. The Hadosh Shari said in a different place on the Mishnah Perkei Avot. At the Mishnah Perkei Avot, he said, "Histakel b'shlosha devarim v'yatam alidei avera." If you look at three things, and you always have these three things in front of your eyes, you will never come to the avera. What are they? Da male male mimach, ein roa, ve'ozen shomaat, ve'chol maasecha b'sefer nichtavim. So this is something beautiful. He said, "You know how powerful you are. You know how powerful you are. When a person does an action on earth, he's moving all the olamot in the shamayim." Even the smallest action that a person does, even a mamash, an action of one mahshava, toba that he has, the reverberations it has in the upper olamot is incredible. The mashal that they give is you have somebody standing in New York and he has a long rope, and the rope is 3,000 miles long, and the other guy's in L.A. Rashid Tevot, Los Angeles, Elon. So you have over here now, the guy in New York starts to shake the rope. He starts to shake the rope. What happens in Los Angeles eventually? The guy feels the rope tugging. Say, what's going on? But what do you feel? Where's this coming from? 3,000 miles away. Similarly, our neshamot are connected to the upper worlds. So anytime there's a little movement, even a little movement on the neshama lemata, Yaakov hevel nahalato. Yaakov hevel. It's a rope. And therefore, anytime the rope is moved a little over here, and it doesn't have to move a lot, even a little reverberation makes tremendous reverberation. See how much kawa you have over here? So the Hadush Yarim and the Baal Shem said the same thing. Da ma lemala. You want to know what's going on above? Mimach. It's from you. Da ma lemala. If you want to know all the things that are happening in the upper worlds, who's moving the worlds? Mimach. That's the Darash. The simple way of learning the Peshta is da ma lemala. Mimach. Know what's above you. But he's learning differently. Da male male, you have to first know. You know how powerful you are? Male male, what's going on above is being controlled by who? Mimach.
You want to do more.
Your actions are causing that. Wow, I didn't know my actions are doing something. You don't see it. Furthermore, this is a very important hadushim. Ayin ro'ah. You believe it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's no, but not in a bad way. You always learn that Mishnah. Ayin ro'ah, therefore, he's looking at me. No, look how much Hashem loves your actions. He's looking at you. He's noticing you. Which means he's noticing if Hashem holds your actions so important that you're causing him to, he's turning his head, that he's noticing you. You know how great you are. But we have some type of guy walks in, you don't give him a look at him. Look at the guy. Where's the guy? You don't want to look at the guy. He's asking for money if you look at him. You don't want to look at the guy. Hashem, Ayin ro'ah, he's looking. Why? He sees a guy praying the Amidah, Ayin ro'ah, God's looking. After that, Hashem's looking at everything you do. Every ma'aseh you do, even a ma'aseh katan, even a small action, God's looking. Ozen shoma'at. A guy sitting and learning Torah, he might come along and say, What kind of Torah am I learning? Mizor, I need the art scroll with the Pirush on the art scroll. The art scroll on the art scroll. And I still don't understand half the things that I'm saying. And what? The Mishnah says, Ozen Shomat. Even that Borei Olam is. Listen, how much Nahatruah you give to Kadosh Baruch Hu? V'chol ma'asecha basef nechtavim. So they always learn it in a negative way. They always scare you half to death. What did I tell you? And you have to know that all of your actions are being recorded. What are you, pledge allegiance now? What is it? So the point is, v'chol ma'asecha basef nechtavim. What was he saying like this? They always scare you half to death. They tell you, oh, everything's being recorded. So you get scared. But the way the Hidusharim learned it, no, you have to know. It says in the Pasuk, Ba'avraham Abinu, Ba'avraham Zaken, Ba'bayamim, Ba'shemir Abraham, Bakol. What does it mean he blessed them Bakol? Explain it.
With everything.
Hazaku Baruch, you fell right into the trap. Over here, Bakol. Which means, yes, that's the simple explanation. Bakol means everything. Everything. However, the word Bakol, Kol, sometimes does not mean everything. It could mean anything. Anything. What do I mean? When the Pasuk says, Kol Chelev Shor Ubehema Lo Tochelu. Kol Chelev, what does it mean? Any fat. Kol, meaning Kol Shehu.
Not all.
Kol Shehu it means. So Kol has two meanings. Kol can mean Kol, everything. But Kol can mean anything. Kol Shehu. Kol Chelev. Kol Chelev doesn't mean you have to eat all the animal. It means even a piece of it. You know what they said, they keep saying about Avraham Avinu? You know what the greatest of Avraham, you know the blessing of Avraham was? Avraham Avinu was involved. Vashem Avraham Bakol. Bakol means he did the great things, the cold things, the things that encompass great. And he also was involved in the cold. He involved himself in the cold shoe things. The mustard, even the mustard he got involved in. That's the cold shoe. That's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Avraham knows nothing is small in Yadut. Nothing is, if you know that everything is registering, so even the mustard that he gave to Gedge, you said, ah, that's not Ohim, okay, three tongue, that's a big item, okay, Bakol, yeah, went out of the West way. Okay, went and he did the Brit Milah on the third day, the same Avram that was doing the greatest things, he doesn't forget the condiment, he doesn't forget the spicy mayo to make sure that the Malachim are going to have Dijon mustard. The point is, you see over here the greatness, that's the Yana of Avram, Hashem Berach Avram Bakol, and that's what it means in the Mishnah. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, meaning even the kol shehus. V'chol ma'asecha, not only the major item that you did. So when a person reads the Mishnah, he says, oh, "Unbelievable! Look how great I am. I'm controlling the upper worlds by my actions. Even one thought that I have. There was a mon from Slunim, the grandfather, I think, of the rabbi that we read. Rabbi Abraham from Slunim made the following bounty, by the way, is very good if you need to write your shi'urim, the two-ply. No, be genuine. It has a good...
I love the bounty.
A good, yeah. No, for writing your devret Torah also has a good... No, this is fine. And they have it in the hallway. I took it over there. And the napkins on JetBlue also very good for reading, just so you know.
Don't laugh. I have.
So I'm not laughing, honey. I'm not laughing.
That's why you can afford $20,000.
Rabbi Abraham from Slunim said... And I'm quoting, Hashem Yidbarach Ya'azor Lanu. Hashem should help us. Shena'amin ki machshava kedosha ahat. One good thought. One positive thought. Machshava kedosha. Whatever you're thinking about. One thought of God. One thought of Yekara mikol hon de'alma. Is more precious than all of Olam Hazeh. He says, you got to know that Hashem should give you the siyata to know that even one thought that fleeting thought goes through your mind about Hashem, you just involve yourself in something that's more valuable than kol hol da'alma. But you need set that's right to know that. Because most people come along and say, that's well mitzvah, leave me alone. Big items. No. Abraham Berach, Hashem Berach Dabru Bakol, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Borei Olam's writing every single item, even the kol shehus, even the small pratim. Now, of course, the Yetzer Hara, Yetzirah, which obviously is the Nahash. It says the Nahash.
The snake.
The snake, where does the snake bite the person?
The heel.
Gets him in the heel. And where do we get the snake? We get the snake in the head. How do you kill the snake? Step on his head. How do you kill the snake?
You want to see the snake?
No, I know that. Nobody wants to. That wasn't my question. Okay. Do you want to see a snake? My question is, how do you kill a snake? You're answering the wrong question. The point is, you kill the snake by the head. So the Pasuk says, God is telling the snake, if you remember, Hu Yeshufecha Rosh. He's going to get you by the head. Ve'ata teshufenu akiv. And you're going to get him by the akiv. Borei Olam was telling you the whole fight between Adam and the Yetzirah for the next 5,000 years. That's going to be the fight. Your fight is going to be telling the Yetzirah, everything is Rosh, everything is big, everything is great. And Yadut, everything is Rosh. His claim, the man's claim against the snake is going to be what? Rosh. And what is the claim of the snake going to be? That's the whole fight. You have to come along and say, there's no such thing as everything is Rosh. Everything is massive in Yahadut. Small things are great things. And the Yetzirah comes along and tells you, come on. And especially the Yetzirah comes along and is going to say, and here's the key now of the Dirash. Yetzirah comes along and says that what? Yetzirah is going to come along and say, and anyway, you're a nothing. So by the way, now you have a Sefek Sefika. Sefik, number one, you're doing small things. And Sefik Shini, you're a zero anyway. So therefore, Sefik, what you're doing is nothing. But I feel him to Tzomad, that what you're doing is something, but when nothing does is something, so it's nothing. So therefore, you're zero. Akiv. So therefore, why does, here's the Hiddush now, what causes the person to not do the mitzvot? The humility, the fake humility that Baal Shem talked about. So that's what Nashi means. When she says, these are mitzvot she'adam dash. Why is he dashing the mitzvot? Ba'akivav, because of his humility. That's what's causing him to be dashed, the mitzvot. He's dashed ba'akivav, because he has the false humility. He walks around and says, oh, akiv, that she's giving you both that I showed the same time. Why is he dashed? Why is he come along and say, mitzvot, but not for me? He's dashed ba'akivav. He's using humility as an excuse. He's using humility, which is pasul. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, that most of the humility causes a person to become distant from God, then close.
So it's not a particular
Bidiyuk. It's telling you the reason. And she's giving you the reason.
He doesn't
dash from Amal. Dash ba'akivav, because of his humility. And he doesn't give the credit to what he is, to what his koach is. We realize his koach, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what a person is. Person's tremendous. As a matter of fact, they went to the Hafetz Chaim once. This is the story. They went to the Hafetz Chaim, a baker, and he told them that he's reading the Zohar during the month of Elul, the Sadiqim read Zohar. So he was reading the Zohar Hadash, and in Zohar Hadash, it says the following, that any Torah and mitzvot that a person has that is not coupled with Yir'ah and Ahava does not have wings. And if it doesn't have wings,
doesn't count.
It can't go up.
Can't take off.
It means any mitzvah needs the hilo or himu. It needs the Yirav. So the baker came along to the Rav, and he came to him and he said, "What are you talking about? We have the hilo or himu because we do the mitzvot. Because we're conscious. We want the hilo or himu." So he said, "What's going to be with all those mitzvot that I did my whole life? You tell me that I'm going to come up with nothing." That was his claim. So the Habit Haim is very, very smart, obviously. So he tells him, how's the bakery business over here? He says, well, to be honest with you, Rabbi, that's a separate subject. The Parnassah you asked me about. He says, it's a difficult business. He says, I make chalis, I make the doughs, and I make all these type of baked goods. And every time the lady, I make them, not every challah comes out exactly the same. Some come out long, had arik, had katsir, had benoni. One's burnt on the bottom, one's missing something. So therefore, at the end of the day, I have so much leftover stock, and that's where my profit goes, those stocks, of the, and nobody wants to buy it. They want me to give it to them for free. There's all these, odd-shaped items. The oven doesn't produce it perfect. It's not like today we have the special technology. Those days, everything is, hand-baked, like we make. So the Hafetz Chaim tells him, all right, you have my beracha. You have my beracha, and the Bezat Hashem, everything should be good. A couple of months later, World War I broke out. Now already, World War I broke out. Famine struck the whole world. Now the Hafetz Chaim sees the baker. He has the bakery. He's like, I can't, no matter if I make it like a, who knows what. If it looks like a gorilla, they'll buy it. If it looks bitten into it, they'll buy it. They'll take anything. They're eating the trays, the people. I can't make it fast enough, and nobody cares about what they look like, what they taste like, burnt, not burnt. Oh. So the Hafetz Chaim said, oh, now the answer to your question. He said like this, in the olden generations, where there was great light and great tzaddikim and all that. So Borei Olam, he was looking for the perfect mitzvot. And then you had the Hilu, Reimu, and all that stuff over here. That had to be perfect those days. But today, that the world is so dark, and today, in Shaman, they'll take anything. Give them anything. Give them the birth mitzvot. Give them mitzvot that have nothing on. Take anything to them. Today, it's war. The Yetzirah is going berserk in the street. So you have a few guys that are doing a little something. He said, the little something you're doing today, you don't need the hilu and rahimu and all that. They're taking all the leftover, the fadlat bread that nobody would buy during the good years. During the war years, everybody's buying. Now he's not coming to say, therefore do nothing. He's just saying, he knows who we are. Of course you should try to do everything. But at the end of the day, we're humans, we don't always have the biggest kavanot. Because you were able to come to the Beit Knesset with a simple kavana. Hafetz Chaim said, in the Dor Ikvita, that's why it's called Dor Ikvita Mishiha. Ikvita Mishiha says that we're on the bottom, but we have all the previous generations above us. So who's holding who? The Ikiv is holding the rest of the body. That means it's our actions that are actually holding up the previous generations. Because he said, in the previous generation, there was a lot of light. He says, so when you make a light in a time of light, it doesn't notice so much. But when you take a light in a time of darkness, it already shines much greater. The Gemara says, Shragabati Aramayani. What is the benefit of a light in light? However, Ksat Minaor Dochehav Minahoshik. But when you're in total darkness like we are now, and a guy comes, a little mitzvah, small mitzvah, whatever it is, but that little match, it's a nightlight. It brightens up the whole horizon. So the Abed Saim came along and said, that's why it's called Dorik Vetad Meshicha. Because we're the Ekev. But who's relying? They're relying on us. The previous generations are the Lev, the Moach, the rest of the parts of the body. But they are relying and they are having their stability and their foundation on the Ekev. Because they're saying, listen, it's true maybe your actions are not as qualitatively great as ours. But under the conditions that you're doing the mitzvot, with the world the way that Yetzirah is having a field day with all these things, and still you have a guy that's Shomer Piv, Shomer Enav, Shomer Shabbat, Shomer, with all the challenges, they got those challenges that we have today. Oh, so if that's the case, Abotai, we understand what it says in the first Rashi. The first Rashi says that what? Adam dash ba'akeva, because he doesn't realize his power. He doesn't really, because you're doing ikmetah de Mashiach. God says the greatest v'haya is lashon simcha. And v'haya el lashon simcha. V'haya, you know what the big simcha is going to be? Ekev, when the door of ikvetad shmiha is going to be shomer the mitzvot. Because in that generation, even your small actions are going to be registered. But what happens? The guy doesn't realize. He says, I'm living in a tameh generation. I'm a nothing. My actions are nothing. So that she says, these are the mitzvot she'adam dash. Lama dash? Ba'akevav. It is fake humility. The Yetzirah is trying to make you that you're a zero and you're another. You're wrong. You're great. Now we go back. Hadushah Arim said, Ekev, Ezeh Sod Rabbi Akiva. What did he want from Rabbi Akiva? His explanation is based on the Gemara in Baba Kama. Yeah, I'm going to say, let me say something first, and then you could. I don't want to try to interrupt you. Just give me 1 minute. I'm in the middle of a class. So over here, it says, on Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tzaddi. Over here, it's talking about different damages that a person has to pay if they embarrass somebody. One of the payments you have to pay in the Torah Nezek is boshet. So the Mishnah says over here, Para Rosh HaIsha Bashuk. Okay, if you took off the lady's head covering in the shuk, Arba Me'od Zuz. But if she takes it off herself, you pay her nothing. Today they take it off themselves.
They never put it on.
They put it on, so you have to pay them. The Gemara says, Satro. If you smack the guy, across the face, Noten no matayim zuz. Le'ahad yado, if you smack him this way, with the back of the hand, that's the backhanded slap. Noten no arba meot. Okay, that's 400. It all depends on the saram ozno. You pull his ear off, or you pull his hair, or rakak, or you spit on the guy. The Mishnah's giving you all different menus. But the Gemara gives you a rule that the judges work with. What do the judges work with? A guy comes along and says, they spit in my face. There's no set number. Which means, if the guy is a hashuv guy, and you spat in his face, that's bigger payment. If the guy was a homeless guy, when you spat in the guy in his face, you pay him something. The guy was a homeless guy in the street. So therefore you don't have to pay him.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
When you have money, you can get away with anything. That's the whole story. I'm Zoom. I'll say your name also. You're threatening me with that. You're scaring me with that. Zoom. You love me. This is if he loves me. Imagine if he didn't love me when he got home. Imagine if he loves me. He loves me. In any event, okay. As long as one of us know. The point over here is like this. You have over here a situation where the judge is going to say, who's the guy? Who? If he's a lower guy, you're not going to get so much money. That means the Tana of the Mishnah is holding
level.
There's levels. Not everybody is the president, and not everybody's the low. Everybody's kol kifi kevodo. Amar Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, Afilu aniim shebi Yisrael, even the lowest guy, aniim shebi Yisrael, roim otam kiilu hem bnei horim. You look at them as if they're the most hashuv guys. Shehem bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. At the end of the day, there's no classes in Klal Yisrael according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, the lowest guy is the greatest guy. Why? Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is reminding you of how great you are. Rabbi Akiva is saying, there's no such thing, you're the child of Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Anybody that comes in, right away, first class guy. You got to pay him full price. You embarrass the greatest of Avraham, Yitzhak. What do you mean? I never even saw those people. They're my great, 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 great. Doesn't matter. You have the kohot of Avraham, Yitzhak inside of you. Therefore, you have tremendous kohot. So the Hadushi Arim comes along and says, yes, Ekev Anava. Don't let the anava cause your husband to become depressed. Ekev is Lashon Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva reminds us that remember how great you are. You're son of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And therefore, even though your status might be an Ani Shebi Israel, even though your status might be a very low person, but in Bnei Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And therefore, the Pasuk is saying, do not let the anava, the Ekev, be a cause that you're trampling them as watch. You have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each person. Not only loves each person, he loves each person unconditionally. And this week's parashah, I'll conclude. But Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the rebuke. And one of the rebukes he comes along and says is, Mamrimi Temi Madonai. Mamrimi Temi Madonai. You were rebels. It was a strong Musar. You were rebels. But the Mefarshim come to explain that in that Musar, there was also a silver lining over there. What was he saying? Mamrim, you're rebels. Im Hashem. But you were still with Hashem. That means even after we were Mamrim, it didn't affect Im Hashem. You would have thought after you'd be Mamrim, Mamrim, see you later. Get lost. No. Even with the Mamrim, Im Hashem. And of course, you can in such a generation. Ha'omdim bebet Adonai balelot. Those that are able to stand Bebet Hashem, Balilot, at the time of darkness, at the time of Hoshik, at the time of tremendous Nisyonot, is that in the time of night, which is in Olam Hazeh, especially this time. So therefore, that's the highest Madriga. Therefore, we review it, Rabotai, quickly. The simple explanation is Ekev, Atid Lavo. Ekev, meaning in the future. Ah, you're going to ask me, But the Torah tells me you're getting reward. No, that's the perot. Ekev is the 172nd word of the Ten Commandments, which is the Re'echa. And therefore we said perotehem ba'olam hazeh. Ekev the Ba'al HaTorim said b'lashon Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov held on to the Ekev and he said to say, you go first, take olam hazeh. I'm taking the Ekev, I'm taking the end. I'll wait to the end. I'm going to get the Sakha Latin Nabo. Yud is going to get the perot, Yaakov. And then we came along and said that Ekev is also b'lashon the Bi'akiva. Yes, what's the Bi'akiva have to do with Ekev? And we said, Ekev Melashon Anaba. And Ekev Melashon Ekvetad Meshicha. And Ekev Melashon Adam Dash Ba'akiva. And we came along and said, that yes, of course you have to have Anaba. But Rov Anaba Gorem Adam Shitrahek Ma'avodat Abore. Because that Anaba over there is a depressing Anaba. That's trying to tell the guy, you're worthless. So it says the Hiddush HaRim, don't forget, Ekev the Bi'akiva, you're not worthless. No matter what you are, you're still the son of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And therefore that Anaba is supposed to say, I'm a son of Abraham, son of Yaakov, I can do great things. And whatever I did is not enough. Well, that's motivated to do more. Katit lama'or velo katit laminahot. And every single thing you do is valuable. Abraham, Zaken, Vashem, Beragna, Bakol, even on the Kolshehu. Even the call, even the machshava tova, that the, exactly. Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli. Fantastic that Abraham kept even the ekev, even the small item that would not register. And that's what the Rav was coming along to say over here. The Admor from Slonim that halvai you have to pray to Hashem that you should have to understand that even a small thought of kedusha is more valuable than anything in this world. So we should be zocher to recognize our own value, to recognize our own worth. And as a result, we zocher not only to have keren yemet olam haba, but we zocher to have perot.
Amen.
Amen.